I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Wednesday. T-minus 2 hours and 58 minutes till our Thanksgiving feast up here.
Oh, that's right. You've already brought in Amy.
You ready to strap the feed bag on?
I'm going to try to be careful. Every year I say the same thing. I'm going to be good this year. And then
how's that go for you?
17 pounds later.
Yeah.
It doesn't go well.
This is the first one I've gotten to do because I'm usually getting ready for an afternoon show. But now, you know, I'm footloose and fancy free at 10:01 a.m.
What about this job makes you think that you couldn't eat for an hour at noon before your 2 p.m.
Because I got to focus. Honestly, I could if I go in and eat like I want to,
yeah,
I would fall asleep in the middle of an afternoon show.
You pull back and go, Al Bundy, yeah. undo your belt.
More than I already do.
Yeah. Just sit there with your hand down your pants.
100%. Yes, yes. So,
what Amy made you a Amy nice... made.
Well, Amy was disgusted with me last night because we as I mentioned earlier, we went to Zoo Lights. Mm-hmm. And then we went out to eat afterwards. We went and ate some sushi, and we're sitting there at dinner. And she said, "What do you got going on tomorrow?" And I said, "None of your business, woman." And then she said, "No, tell me."
Quit checking up on me.
And I said, "She said, no, tell me." And I said, "Well, we have our Thanksgiving feast up at Entercom, up at the station. All this, you know, the whole cluster." And she said, "Oh, cool. What are you bringing?" I said, "I don't know. I'm probably just going to swing over to the grocery store between the show in the feast and go buy a couple of pies or something, you know?" Mm. And she was so disgusted with me. She's like, "What is that? What they want you to do? Like, is that what they do? They need a couple of pies?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but I'm going to bring a couple of pies. I'll have done my part," which in situations like this is bringing just enough to feel like I can be gluttonous with everything everybody else
made.
Right.
Yeah. No,
she was disgusted with me. And I said, "Well, I think they needed mashed potatoes." She said, You could have told me I could have made mashed potatoes. I said, "I don't want to put that on you. You teach these kindergartners all day long. You come home, you're tired. I don't need you."
She's got germs on her hands.
Yeah. So that too.
You can't be bringing your kindergartner germs
into my mashed potatoes. Yeah. Right. So she said, I'll tell you, I'll make something for you. And so she goes, we stop at the grocery store on the way home. She goes in like a dynamo, like a Tasmanian devil, and grabs cake mix, cherry pie filling, pineapple, canned pineapple, and butter, and says in a tin pan, and says, "This is all I need." And she goes home and she takes all those things, dumps them into a bowl, stirs them all up, dumps it in this tin pan right here, puts it in the oven for 35 minutes, and boom, this comes out. And it looks delicious.
Yeah, and it's actually homemade.
Yeah, it's homemade.
See, I did this. I told Brandy, like, "Listen, I'm going to do my new sweet potato recipe. I got this."
Oh, you're excited about your sweet potato
recipe. Right, yeah, but I'm always really super ambitious about this stuff. But last night I was tired, so I had to go to bed. And now, so I'm going to go. I'll run into, like, three other Entercom employees down either at HEB or the Whole Foods or something.
Oh, is that what happens
normally? Every year I run into, like, "Hey, you from sales," see, "whose name I don't know."
Right.
Wink. Right. I know what you're up to.
You're getting feast stuff. So I don't know what it's called, but it's got, you know, it's a cherry pineapple crunchy thing. So anyways, yeah, so we have that coming up at noon today. The interesting article on the Big Lead yesterday, Seth, TV ratings have been a bit of a sort of a background topic, but at times a front burner topic with sports because of all the ratings news going on a couple of years ago when the NFL was having its issues with the, you know, with the anthem and with, you know, just general things going on in the game that people were trying to, I mean, you remember the big story was people trying to diagnose why ratings have been going down in the NFL. And it felt like at that time that the NBA was sort of, I don't know, the NBA felt like it was kind of like low-key gloating at the fact that the NFL's ratings had gone down. When they never go down, they go up every year. And the NBA was kind of sitting over there, like over off to the side, like, you know, like side-eyeing the NFL at their low ratings. The NBA now is in a ratings crisis, it would appear. They've had 8 of their first 10 TNT games. The ratings have gone down so far. The ratings during the NBA Finals last year were down 14% from the year before. And now it's a league where the Golden State Warriors are essentially a team that's in the high lottery, and half the stars in the league have shuffled teams to where you almost need an answer key to keep up with who's on what team these days.
Yeah.
Do you make anything of these NBA ratings dipping right now?
I try not to, because it seems like every single year people overreact to either the positives or the negatives.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're up. This is the sport of the future. And then the next year, oh my gosh, they're down. For one, ratings in general are going down because people are changing the way they consume. So you always have to say that first. But then sometimes ratings are declining faster than they otherwise should. I think it's a natural fluctuation.
Okay.
I think over time, television ratings are going to be a mess because of like the changing the nature of these.
Yeah.
I also wonder, they didn't mention in this article the fact that more and more these regional cable disputes are getting to be more and more of an issue. Now, this isn't a national issue, but even the regional cable, there are a lot of... I think there are at least a couple of teams between baseball and
carriage
basketball
issues.
Where a lot of people in a city can't watch their team right now.
Yeah, I think Houstonians can relate to this in 2013 when Comcast Sportsnet was trying to get off the ground. And half the people in Houston couldn't watch the Astros and the Rockets.
I will say, okay, if I'm going to play along, though, and say, yes, this is dire news for the NBA, I do think there's something about the current brand of basketball that just feels less fun to watch. I like watching my team shoot threes. I like watching Steph Curry shoot threes. I don't like random 31% three-point shooters shoot threes.
I don't like watching Brooke Lopez shoot threes.
Yes, which is like the game has become more and more. You know what I also used to like? I used to like when a 20-point lead meant something in basketball, where now it's, they're down by 20. Who cares? I'll come back and check in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Because these fluctuations, because of the three-point shot, these fluctuations are so huge, and a 20-point lead just doesn't mean much anymore.
Yeah.
Like, realistically, a 12, 14-point lead just doesn't mean much anymore. That it feels like all the things that used to might be able to say about the NBA, like, hey, well, watch the last 2 minutes, that's all you need to know. It feels like that's amplified more than ever.
To me, I think you could talk about the style of play, and I think your point is a good point. And I think people will talk about load management and the fact that, TV ratings are down because in some of these big national TV games, you have no idea if Kawhi Leonard's going to play or not.
Yeah.
You have no idea if certain guys are going to play. And I think just the load management in general turns off portions of the fan base that are used, older portions, that are used to watching guys go out and play every night. You know, and I think that's one of the cool things about James Harden is you got to use the jaws of life to pry him off of a basketball
court. It is in basketball. It's the star power more than any other sport.
Yes.
That's who you tune in to watch individuals.
And I think there's two things. To me, the two things that I would really love to examine more, and it's really subjective, but the two things to me that are eating at the popularity of the game, one is the off season is more intriguing than the regular season. The first 2 weeks of July and all the soap opera that goes on off the court with who's going to play where is way more intriguing than the product on the court, because the league has essentially said the regular season doesn't mean anything. By allowing load management, by letting half the teams into the playoffs and the rest of the teams are tanking for draft picks, the regular season means nothing.
You know what? That's okay, because for a long time, half the teams have made the playoffs, but now it's
the other half aren't competing.
They're not even trying. Yeah. They know that it's a race to not make the playoffs when you get to that point.
Right.
I didn't tell you where this is all headed, Sean. And honestly, as a man who believes in the power of the free market, they got to get rid of the draft in general in all sports.
Or just make it totally random.
The draft is a bygone remnant of a time before free agency.
Yeah.
Once free agency came to, and people haven't wanted to accept it because the draft is such a big part of their life. As long as you have a luxury tax, or in the NFL, a hard cap, then everything kind of takes care of itself. Teams like the lesser teams have more money to spend on whoever the preeminent guy is.
Yeah.
Just let it be the Wild West out there.
Yeah. This, you know what this tells me?
What's up?
O'Brien knows something. He's trading all these future draft picks because he knows after this next CBA, there's going to be no more draft.
They're going to get rid of
He's going to essentially gotten Laremy Tunsil for free.
Now that the NFL has teams starting to tank.
Yeah.
Which again, you know, if you look at the NBA is different. Obviously, having a top five pick is a huge deal in the NBA.
Football, yeah, one player can change everything.
Football's a little different. Now, I hear all these people, you know, grousing about, oh, Miami must be crying, or Washington or Cincinnati must be miserable that they're not going to have a chance at Tua. And I look at the top five ranked QBR quarterbacks right now. Why do you need that top pick?
Yeah.
I got Dak Prescott. I've got Pat Mahomes who went
10th.
He went 10th overall.
Yep.
You don't need to tank to get 10th overall.
You don't.
You got Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Don't need to tank to get him.
Their teams both traded up to get them.
Right.
Mahomes and Watson.
And you've got Russell Wilson.
Third round pick.
Four of the top five are non-tankable assets.
That's right.
So what is this? I don't know what all this clamoring to get a top one or two is. Oh, so you can get Jared Goff or Carson Wentz?
You know what I think? Sometimes it's a way to justify underperformance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's just this window dressing to make fans feel like there's an ultimate plan in place.
There's something for this. Where there's something to be said for just clearing the deck.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost, it's not even about tanking, it's about clearing the deck so you can start with a fresh salary cap and whatnot.
Yeah. The other thing is guys don't hate each other anymore in the NBA.
Yeah. I wonder if in basketball...
This is where I'll stick up for Draymond Green.
Yeah.
This is where I'll say Draymond is good for the league. Draymond is hated around the league
by
other teams and other teams' fan bases.
When the Warriors come to town, that's part of the appeal and the excitement is you hate Draymond.
It's the main appeal of them being terrible right now is you have to watch Draymond miserably go through a season as the only All-Star on this team.
The NBA lost a little something last year when Draymond tried to make himself more likable.
Yeah.
He started to work on himself.
Stop it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Right.
Be the guy that gets away... I almost feel like that's a part of his appeal, too. The fact that he gets away with stuff that would get other players ejected, it makes him that much more hateable. The NBA, more than baseball or even football, which is weird. In football, it seems like the sport where you'd really expect guys to hate each other. There's something about being able to see people's faces and everything and have it's a mano-a-mano matchup of basketball players going back to Bird versus Johnson and whatnot. There's something about that where now... Yeah, they're all buds going back to their AAU days.
And they're all on their third team in 5 years.
That's okay. I think more than like the hateable part of it, there's that.
Yeah.
And you know, in Houston we have that issue. The turnover on the Rockets is so high. And then in any given year, you feel like you're just getting to know Chris Paul, and then by the way, Chris Paul's gone, and now it's Russell Westbrook. Hey, you love Russell Westbrook, right?
Well, and yet in some ways Houston fans are lucky in that the star on their team has actually stayed on their team for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know,
what are you selling in Oklahoma City right now? That we're we can be competitive again until your favorite players force their way out of here.
Right. they're not rendered one of those teams that stars don't want to stay
on. Durant left, but Russell Westbrook forced his way out. Russell Westbrook said, "Hey, look, this is dumb. Let me go."
And they loved him so much, they're almost like, "We must let him go." Like they were like Red watching Andy leave Shawshank. Birds' feathers are too bright for Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
They must go to the bright lights in the big city of Houston, Texas.
Hey, what happened at the end of that in the book? I've been told that
I need to read the book.
More depressing.
I need to read a book.
I wonder if Red successfully committed suicide.
Yeah. Come on now.
Well, I don't know. That would be more depressing, would it not?
Very depressing, yeah. Especially if it's Morgan Freeman. I feel like Morgan Freeman could talk me into almost anything. When they put his voice on these commercials and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I want to buy that.
Has he played God more than any other? It seems like he's
George
God
Burns. He's
times.
Tied with George Burns. The text message says Red was killed by the drug cartel crossing the border.
Oh, really?
I don't think that's true.
That doesn't sound right.
It was in like the 40s.
They cut his head off and put it on a turtle.
Yeah.
That's how Andy Dufresne was painting the boat, and this turtle comes walking up along the beach. He's like, oh, is that a turtle?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a turtle that looks like Red. And my God, it's Red.
Right, right. And then Walter White and Pinkman showed up. And then, the worlds are colliding.
That was Danny Trejo in that one, wasn't
he? Didn't you meet him at the Super Bowl?
I did. It was fun. He was really cool.
Yeah.
Mike and I interviewed him.
Not a face man.
He was wearing like a sleeveless leather shirt. It was like he was every character he's ever played.
Yeah.
And he was telling us about his time in jail and everything. He was doing some kind of show where he explained like how to survive your time in jail.
Really?
If I recall properly.
I would watch that.
Yeah, I got to look that up.
I mean, I would hope
I might be mixing things in my brain right now.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's that damn spider that crawled down your throat.
It was. I think it may have been poisonous. I might have either that or I might have superhero powers by now.
Depending on the spider.
I might
I'm
trying to shoot a web at
badass.
You right now.
I'm like, I get here 5 o'clock tomorrow. I look up at the building. Like, what's Seth doing climbing the side of the building?
Jonesy, I said, I'm shooting a web. And Jonesy immediately, I see that face, that look on his face where he's worried I might take that somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Jonesy. Yeah. Give me a little credit.
Come on now.
Gosh.
So the Major League Baseball has said that, Well, it depends on how you read Jeff Passan's article, I suppose, as you pointed out earlier.
Yeah, Jeff Passan kind of tweaked what Manfred actually said and made it sound like Manfred was damning the Astros to hell.
Yeah, Jeff Passan of ESPN, who is a really good baseball reporter, he's a really good baseball reporter who seems to have something in for the Astros. Yeah. He typed, these are his words, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, said he believes the sign-stealing scandal that has engulfed the sport involves only the Houston Astros.
Which isn't actually what Manfred said.
Here's what Manfred said. Right now, we are focused on the information that we have with respect to the Astros. I'm not going to speculate on whether other people are involved. We'll deal with it as it happens. I'm not going to speculate about that. I have no reason to believe it extends beyond the Astros.
That is much different than saying, I believe it's only the Astros. Right. He's saying he doesn't have a reason to believe it extends beyond
that. That is true. Boy, when you juxtapose those two sentences
it's kind of important, I would imagine, when you're writing
about
these things.
Jeff Passan's fake news.
Well, if you believe that Jeff Passan's kind of got it in for the Astros, it seems like that this would support your argument. He's not paying attention to detail there.
No. Can I be clear about something?
Yeah.
We're putting these two sentences next to each other and pointing this out. Somewhat ha-ha funny about the whole thing. Like, I don't think neither you nor I fall into the category that I see so many Astro fans falling into, unfortunately, of
being in complete denial?
Yeah, of ultimately being the emperor with no clothes on in this whole thing.
If you believe, honestly, if you believe that the Astros didn't do it at this point, God bless you. You've got more faith than I do. But if I'm going to look at this objectively, I'll be very, very surprised if they didn't do something. Now it's a question for me of how many other teams were doing it? Because in the original article in The Athletic that exposed all of this, Rosenthal and Evan Drellick said that as many as 8 teams are believed to have been doing this. Rosenthal wrote a piece yesterday after the commissioner spoke and said, hey, in our original piece, we said there's a lot of speculation that other teams are doing this. We didn't have any hard evidence of it, so we only put the people that we have on record talking about this. But Rosenthal, who wrote the original article, thinks that baseball needs to extend their investigation into other teams. Why that's important? I'm not going to sit here and say, well, they didn't do anything wrong because other teams were doing it. What I will say is, if other teams were doing it, baseball needs to take that into account when it comes to doling out punishments. It would be unfair for the Astros to get punished, especially if they try to make an example out of the Astros and they get punished extremely if there were indeed other teams doing it. So everybody should get punished if they were breaking the rules. It's just a matter of how much and alongside other people that might get away with it if you don't investigate it.
Yeah. I just don't do anything that touches the 2020 season materially. You know what I mean? I said on the show earlier, I'd say it again. I don't think a suspension to A.J. Hinch materially impacts what the Astros can accomplish in 2020. I don't think they're going to suspend him for the whole year, first of all. And I think even if they did, the Astros would still win the American League West. That's my thing is, okay, they did what they did. The punishment is going to be what it is. The main thing that I don't want to be touched with the Astros right now is the window of 2020 and 2021. The window for the Astros right now extends to the contracts of Verlander and Greinke.
Well, this is a question I have. And for one, when we're talking about 2017, for people listening, 2017, the rules and guidelines surrounding all of this were very murky. And the Red Sox got caught cheating in 2017. All they were delivered was a fine. The Yankees, as part of that investigation, were found to have been cheating in an earlier championship season before 2017. They were delivered a fine. They didn't take away any draft picks or anything like that. So for whatever the Astros were caught doing in 2017, I don't believe it should be that extreme a fine. It comes down to what were they doing in 2018 and 2019
100%.
After they'd started to crack down. So we'll see about that. Every time I've brought this up, people, I've only brought it up to a couple people. When I bring up the prospect of players getting suspended, people don't seem to think that's likely. But I'm trying to figure out if it's wrong and Major League Baseball doesn't want it and they find that Evan Gattis or anybody else was doing something they knew was wrong, why would they not get suspended?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I guess in 2017, none of the Red Sox players got suspended.
Yeah.
The manager didn't get suspended.
Right.
I don't think baseball has the precedent to suspend Luna or Hinch for stuff that happened in 2017.
Right.
Not based on what they did to the Red Sox and Yankees.
Yeah. Do you think this impacts them at all this offseason? And what I mean by that is this investigation may go on till the beginning of next season is what Manfred is saying. Like, they're going to make it a long, thorough investigation. And my hunch is they ultimately do find out that other teams are involved in this kind of thing through the investigation. All it takes is one whistleblower player like Mike Fiers. My guess is there are dozens of Mike Fiers is walking around for other teams right now that would blow the whistle on these other teams. Does it impact Jim Crane's desire or ability to spend as much as he could this offseason on making the team better? And or does it impact players potentially wanting to come here, taking a look at it and going, do I want to go somewhere where this team may get whacked with a bunch of sanctions and whatnot? I may not have the best chance to win here that I possibly could.
And there's a little bit of that also. If they're being despised and viewed as cheaters around the league,
stink.
And don't kill the messenger here. I'm just telling you what you see from around the league, the way they feel about it. Do they want to be attached to that?
Right.
I don't know. A lot of the guys, the free agents they're going to be targeting at this point, the things I'm more concerned about are the fill-in-the-margin guys, the catchers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't in a position. Like, just take the damn money and go play for go catch Justin Verlander.
Yeah. Do you think Chirinos is back to do that, by the way?
This is where it's into the Astros don't typically re-sign guys once they hit free agency, but Chirinos is Verlander's personal guy. I bet Chirinos they let him test the market type of guy. They'll bring him back, but it's got to be at a reasonable. He's getting old, too.
He's 36.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they let him set the market and they do whatever.
See, they want to match. Yeah. It's good that we have somebody polite like Ali telling people to stay away from the stadium tomorrow at traffic time. I'd be like, if you're not going to the game, why are you driving near the stadium? Why do you got to be so dumb?
What are you expecting?
Right.
Like, why are you even in that neighborhood?
It's so stupid for you to, you voluntarily drive where there's a lot of traffic?
Don't.
Are you dumb?
Don't try to rip Miles Garrett's helmet off without expecting to get walloped upside the head. And that's what you're doing. That's the metaphor that's perfect. If you're trying to drive near the stadium and you're not going to the stadium on a Thursday night football game, you're going to get Miles Garrett walloped upside the head.
That's right. And that means you're stuck in traffic for 2 hours and Sheldon Richardson would tell you you had it coming to you. It's like he said about Mason Rudolph.
You know, the whole thing that Mason Rudolph learned is you don't mess with a Texan. Good point. Where's he from? Is Mason Rudolph from Texas?
I think he's from, he went to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, no, there's a better than average chance that he's actually from Texas.
Yeah. No, Sheldon Richardson's take about Mason Rudolph is my favorite one so far, which is basically like, hey, Miles Garrett had a guy coming at him who, with his helmet off, and he's rushing right at him. he was just protecting himself. I don't blame Miles at all.
That's all he was
doing.
Like,
boy, to Miles Garrett holding a helmet, a weapon in his hand, I'm sure little Mason Rudolph with no helmet on looked like a really daunting task.
You know, the thing is, and I kept to keep reminding myself this when I was calling him little. I was like, this little punk, he is 6'5".
Whatever.
Miles Garrett is such a freak human being. He's so big.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett is like Mario Williams and Jadeveon Clowney.
Mason Rudolph is 6'5".
Mason Rudolph is 6'5".
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Miles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, some of these guys are so freakishly big that they make even Mason Rudolph, who's 6'5", 230 or so, look kind of tiny. He's not a little guy.
How silly would that look if he was in the room right now and I was calling him a little punk?
So,
listen, you little punk. Looking at the bottom of his chin.
He's from South Carolina, so we're good.
Mason Rudolph is?
Yeah, he's from South Carolina.
Really?
He went to Northwestern High School in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Rock Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's where Clowney's from.
Is it?
I believe Clowney is from Rock Hill, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Clowney makes Mason Rudolph look like a little punk.
Yeah, he does.
But again, the lesson you learn is, if you're going to get in a fight, in a football fight, and you try to get the guy's helmet off, as soon as you get the helmet off, you throw it away. You don't hold on to it. I'm watching it right now on the replay. Oh, what are you thinking, Miles Garrett? Oh, my gosh. Pouncey just goes after
him. Pouncey just looks so comfortable punching and kicking him in the head.
Pouncey looks like any punk high school kid in a YouTube video.
Yes.
She's doing it, in anger.
He's defending his quarterback. I would want Nick Martin to do the same thing if Deshaun Watson got hit with a helmet.
The kicking in the head is the part that always freaks me out a little bit, though.
It's Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
If it's Deshaun Watson, I want Nick Martin to pull out a gun and shoot whoever hit him with a helmet.
Last Boy Scout on him. Ain't life a bitch.
It's Deshaun Watson. I mean, hell, Mason Rudolph's disposable. Deshaun Watson's the truth, man.
One of the many unrealistic parts of The Last Boy Scout where in the opening scenes, the running back pulls out a gun and starts shooting people is one... Probably a lot harder to be accurate as you're running with a football to shoot at people that are running at you.
Yeah,
I suppose. In my memory, when I remember watching that, I remember thinking, like, wait a second, why did people keep trying to tackle him? why are he's already shot one of you? Why are you still going at him?
What year is that movie?
Oh, it must have been like 1990 or something.
Okay, so it's still on the fringe of when. It's still on the fringe of when Hollywood directors and producers cared very little about out-and-out realism of things in movies.
Oh, somebody sent me a video. It's about a young woman basketball player, like a female high school basketball player.
91, by the way.
1991. Yeah. It's called Double Something. It's this little blonde girl who's playing in...
It's a movie?
Yeah, apparently. Oh, it's one of the worst sports scenes I've ever seen of all time. They start off showing her. There's 5 seconds left. She's injured. She put herself into the game. She's got an injured ankle or something. So she's standing like 5 feet behind the three-point line. Yeah. And she's looking up the clock, and it's not even in slow motion at this point. She starts shuffling her feet. Like, without moving them, they just show her like doing some little dance or something. She's 5 feet out from the line. Somebody's coming at her to guard her, and she's still just moving, like pumping her heels up and down in air and like moving her shoulders like she's doing some kind of shimmy.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they zoom back to her, and then they show her teammates. So shoot the ball. And I can tell that this girl probably is a ball hog like in the previous part of the movie, because everybody's imploring her to shoot the ball. They cut back to her. She's 1 foot inside the 3-point line. Still hasn't made her move. She jab steps to the right. Then puts the ball on the floor after she then steps to the left, then puts the ball on the floor. She travels.
What movie is this?
It's Double Something. I don't know.
I gotta
text
look
in 713-572-4610. But then she takes off and she does a behind the back pass.
Yeah.
Stupid, idiotic pass in that situation.
I'm guessing she completed.
To a girl in the left corner. This girl in the left corner has the world's worst defending defender. Like the girl defending her is in position to contest the three, but like leaps out of the way. And then the girl makes it.
Is basketball
double teamed? Is it double teamed?
Double teamed. Is basketball the worst Hollywood sport in terms of fake movie scene? Like when a scene is unrealistic in basketball, it feels like it's worse than any of the other sports. Football, unrealistic scenes are pretty bad. Baseball, probably middle of the pack. But an unrealistic basketball scene?
The problem with football is there are a lot of bad throwers. Yeah. There are a lot of quarterbacks who can't throw the football in some of these scenes. I would say Keanu Reeves in, what was the skydiving
The Replacements.
Movie? No.
I thought you were talking about a football movie.
Point Break.
Yeah,
no, that was football too, because remember, he was Johnny Montana.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He was Johnny Montana.
Johnny Utah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Not Joe Montana.
Yeah, Johnny Montana.
They would base that off of.
No, yeah, Montana's a real last football name, yeah.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.